welcome to the Cult Connections Review Show. I'm your host, Ian Graham. In every episode, I will be joined by a guest to review what's new in the world of film and TV. So whatever takes my fancy, hopefully takes your fancy too. Come and join us on the Cult Connections Review Show. There. Hello everyone, and thankfully welcome back to the Cult Connections Review Show. It is a little bit later than planned, so as always, then Nathan is with me. How are you, Nathan?
I'm real good, thank you. The Cult of Khonshu did not want us to record this on time. That's honestly, that's on Disney. It's not our fault.
It is actually there. The gods have been there stamping on us just over the past couple of weeks to make it a bit slower. So as you can gather, we are finally here to review Moon Knight. It's episode 6. It is Gods and Monsters. Wow. What a way to end it. I thought it did it really well there, Nathan, I must admit.
It was fantastic. So they've left us, as they often do in the MCU, they tied it all together, which I was slightly concerned about them not being able to do, because they left themselves a lot to do in one episode. But I think they did a good job. They've done what I thought they would do, which is leave us with more questions than answers, and the scope to definitely do another season, if not more. So it was really good.
Yeah, it was. And they definitely it does leave it open for us. So we open and we see Mark's body in the water. So we're back in the tomb. And Harrow's sort of disciples, will we call them? They retrieve Mark's body from the water, and he gets his hands on the statue of Amet. And Layla's looking on as well, and then there's a great line, actually. So the Harrow they addresses his entourage, and he says, "Who wants to heal the world?" I thought that was actually really a great line.
Yeah, I think it's good, and I think Oscar Isaac's got all kind of the praise, but we shouldn't forget that a couple of people like Ethan Hawke has been phenomenal.
Yeah,
in this series as well, in the way that he's sort of portrayed. I guess multiple portrayals, because let's not forget he also had to be the therapist in the Overvoid. He's done a great job, and I think it's flown under the radar because of what Oscar Isaac has kind of achieved in this show.
Yeah, definitely. So the Layla, actually, she takes the scarab, and she joins Harrow's party. So she sort of disguises herself. And then the next scene, they're traveling back to their Cairo, and they are at a road stop. So there is they're sort of policemen or sort of military who they stop them. Now I've been to Egypt, there, Nathan. They're a good few years ago, but this is actually something that you do see. So we travelled from Hurghada to Luxor. And you get a convoy, and there are road stops, and we did have a armed escort as we travelled through the desert.
I've heard of Egypt, and this is just what you hear, that pretty much you go to your resort, and if you leave your resort, you do not go alone. to anything. I hope I'm not talking bad of Egypt there, but that's just what you hear over here. So let us know if that's wrong, because I've not been to Egypt, but I would love to go.
Well, I have been there, and that certainly did happen. It was a good few years back, but so they are stopped, and Harrow decides he's going to unleash their judgment on the others. So, and it's only one of the sort of policemen that actually there survives. There's only one of them that fulfills Ahmet's their sort of prophecy or sort of goal, as it were, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, I actually really enjoyed this bit. So the Towerette actually speaks to Layla through the dead bodies, and she urges her to become the Towerette's avatar, and Layla's like very headstrong, and she's like, no, I'm going to do it on my own. I was a bit at this point, Nathan, thinking, no, come on, they take her up on the offer, surely, but she doesn't want to. I did find that one a little bit odd, and then they get back to Cairo and they are in the pyramid originally, and this is where Layla finds she finds their Khonshu's their statue. Is it there a Shakti? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, so Shakti. That's correct.
Yeah. Uh huh. So this happened. So Harrow releases Ahmet, and I like this bit visually because Ahmet's a giant, like this sort of crocodile, basically.
Yeah. So in my research, this is really the first point that I have. So this is taken directly from ancient Egyptian mythology, the way Ahmet looks. Sorry, I was about to say Towerette then. The way Ahmet looks. So always depicted as having the head of a crocodile, the front legs of a lion, and the back of a hippo. So they stay true a little bit to this. One other thing that I've got for going from Egyptian back to comic book world is Ahmet. In the comic book in Jeff Lemire's Moon Knight run, which is pretty much where a lot of these stories come from, a fantastic comic book writer and great artist. Ahmet actually appeared to be Mark's therapist in the comics in the same way that Harrow was in the show.
Right. Uh-huh.
So he Ahmet was actually the therapist usually, which is pretty good. And there's some nice quotes here because obviously Ahmet gets up and says, "To whom do I owe my gratitude?" Arthur Harrow's there saying, "Your humble disciple, my goddess, to whom you owe nothing." And what does Ahmet say straight away? "Your scales lack balance."
Yeah.
So, not great. Not great for Arthur Harrow. Not the start that I think he was hoping for.
Well, he was ready to sort of sacrifice himself, though, wasn't he? He did say, I will. Yeah. So while this is going on, Layla releases their Khonshu, and she gets a second invitation here. So their Khonshu's like, "Well, why don't you become my avatar?" And I think rightly though that their Layla does actually turn them down on that one.
I think 100%. Now, one thing that was noted here is that Khonshu would call Layla little bug. And as we've kind of learnt in the show, Layla's dad would call her the little scarab as well. So he's obviously trying to appeal to there. And Khonshu's not very nice.
No.
He's there basically saying, "You need me, so give me your chance, give me it." And Layla says, "I'll take my chances." And Khonshu fires back, "Mark was in crisis over you. His lack of focus got him killed. You need a plan, little bug. What I offer."
So then we then move back to the underworld after this. So we have Mark, and Mark is talking to the Towerette, and then he goes to see Stephen, who is obviously stone. So he's in this stone form. and they managed to get Stephen back. So Stephen comes back at this point.
Yeah, he does. And I'm going to bring us back to Jeff Lemire's Moon Knight run. So there's a scene in the comics where Mark comes face to face with Stephen and Jake Lockley, who we will get to, in the desert. And Mark asks if they'll stay with him because he's scared. So that's pretty much the scene that they're taking here, with Mark kind of going back and being like, I need you because I can't do this on my own. And he even says at one point, you were the only real superpower I ever had. So, interesting.
Yeah. So Stephen comes back and then the gate of the Osiris opens. We go back and we see the Khonshu and Amit and they are fighting. So they are fighting, and then Mark is actually reborn at this point. So he comes back to life. So they travel through the gate, and then Mark comes back to life. And in the suit as well, and he's traveling. So I think it's just so he travels back, doesn't he? He travels to the so to the pyramid at this point. And then we learn that Amit needs to be imprisoned in their mortal form. So we find that Harrow's still inside the chamber and he tries to destroy it. And then Tauret turns up, and this is where Layla accepts.
Yeah.
And she will be their Tauret's avatar. So
As they go through the gate, one thing that was noticed not by me, but by somebody on BuzzFeed is that whose name I did have, Nora Dominic. So thank you for this one, Nora, is that the boat that they're on, we actually can see in episode one in Gus's the fish, that is the one fin fish in the tank. So there's a picture there. There's a little version of the boat they're on as they come through. And it's pretty cool. So Layla accepts to become the avatar of Tauret and becomes the Scarlet Scarab. So who's the Scarlet Scarab, I hear everyone ask. So in the comics, the first Scarlet Scarab, there are two, was Abdul Faul, and I'm sorry for saying that wrong, F-A-O-U-L. So, and became Marvel's first Egyptian hero. So that's pretty cool because Layla's doing the same thing in the MCU, becoming Marvel's MCU's first Egyptian hero. Went for a couple of forms. The second one was Mehemet Feu as well. So they became the Scarlet Scarab and actually encountered four at one point in the comics. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
But they're obviously going down a different route by making Layla a character that's original to the MCU. Although gets much of the backstory from, I can't remember the original name now from the comics. Begins with M.
It was Marlene.
Marlene, that's it. Thank you. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But Layla does say temporary avatar as well, doesn't she? She makes it kind of there. So cool stuff. Yeah. There is some cool stuff there.
Big up
to Egypt. They got their first MCU representation, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, because like this is the start of basically the big action sequence that ties it all together that we all wanted, really. Yeah.
There's a lot of hint into this because earlier in the episode we saw Layla pick up the scarab off of Mark's body. So I don't know, that was kind of obviously a little bit of a nod to it. But this was it. It was all really, really cool.
Well, it's interesting you should say that there, Nathan, because the scarab is sort of beetle-like in a way in its sort of shape.
Mm.
And obviously Khonshu calls it they're the little bug. So, so there are a few different a few maybe little bits that do kind of tie that in. So we see Harrow. So he's on the top of the pyramid, and he unleashes Ahmet's the sort of judgment over sort of Cairo. And then like you say there, Nathan, we get sort of Layla turning up in her full sort of suit. So she is the Scarlet Scarab. And then we have a great fight sort of sequence. So obviously Khonshu and Ahmet are going for it. And then Harrow and the moon their knight, so they're fighting, and then Scarlet Scarab and the Mr. Knight are fighting, so it kind of changes around a bit, so that's good. I did like this one. I wrote here in my notes, I've written that Scarlet Scarab and Mr. Knight tear Harrow a new one. Because they do give him a good, it's a good fight, isn't it?
They give him a proper hiding. It's good. It was a good action sequence. I think, Moon Knight's been a little light on action for good reason. Yeah. They went in a different direction, but they certainly delivered in the end on something. Yeah. We got to see some great, really, this story coming to the end, as much as they've opened up a massive world, but to see, obviously, Layla, Scarlet Scarab, Stephen and Mark working together, when as the whole show has been them just at loggerheads time and time again, just butting heads and not really being able to solve any problems, because let's be real, Arthur got to do all of this without much resistance until episode 6. he just kind of coasted through. He was a man of a plan and he stuck to it, and it wasn't until these meddling kids and their dumb god kind of got in the way at the end, and kind of
they'll be having a Scooby-Doo moment there.
So they got there in the end, at the very last second, because really Arthur kind of did what he was after. He got Ahmet, woke Ahmet up. It was only they swooped at the end, but it delivered, and it was great.
Yeah,
and it was cool. We got to see some really cool stuff at the end.
Yeah, afterwards. I mean, I'm not going to go through all of the action because it would sound rubbish, to be honest.
I think it's one of those things where podcasting falls down. It's hard to make a good action scene sound exciting.
It does.
If you've not watched the episode for any reason, you're two weeks late like us, and you're thinking, no, I need to listen to Cult Connections review before I watch the episode.
I don't think you do, to be honest. If you are listening and you haven't watched it, what on earth are you doing? Which is often good
watch. If you're listening to this first off, you're weird. And go watch it, because it's great. It's really well done.
So, like you had mentioned, actually, so there's a great scene here, and there's a young Egyptian girl. She's been bystanding, obviously, to this sequence, and she does say to the Layla, "Are you an Egyptian, superhero?" And I really like that part. I thought, yes, and as well, for Egyptian. Their society as well, is that the Scarlet Scarab is in this form is a female character. And I think that says a lot about what sort of values that actually Marvel are having in their world now, and what they want to.
Yeah, that's something I didn't really cover when I was saying who the Scarlet Scarab was. In the comic books, the original, I was talking about, if you don't know names very well, obviously Abdul is a male name.
Yeah.
As is Mehemet. So I'm sorry if I pronounced either of those wrong. But yeah, they have flipped that on its head. And obviously the Scarlet Scarab is now a woman, rightfully so. Yeah. And Layla's a great character to give that mantle to. So it does nothing but aid things. So sorry, I didn't say that earlier. That they've changed gender, because I don't think it matters. but that is awesome. It's a great outfit as well. You can see at the top the scarab on the kind of neck, they're just down at the bottom of the neck, is exactly the same as what Taweret has on her outfit. Just phenomenal casting, great storytelling.
Yeah. Now, this is an interesting bit, because it's obviously that it looks like they're getting the best of sort of Harrow. But Harrow kind of, so So he fights back, but one of the ways he does that is he does mention, but they're Randall at this point, so that's Mark's brother, and he does. So he says so, and he says that actually by their name. So he does mention Randall, and I don't know if this actually provokes something in there, Mark, because we have one of our sort of time shifts that goes on. So one of these little shifts. And they're Boone, and they're Harrow's actually on the floor. Mark's standing over him, so he's had another blackout, as it were. We have to assume, Nathan, and I think we are probably assuming quite rightly that this is their Jake who's doing this.
I think
obviously
so.
we still don't know, but I think so. Yeah,
I think we have to assume that, and that links in with. With kind of what happens later on as well.
I must admit it does. And we were talking about, and we have mentioned this in previous episodes. But anyway, so we get to the climax, and they go back to the tomb and they do manage to trap Harrow and their Ahmet. And then Conchu urges Mark to kill them, which is quite sort of bold, you know, quite a bold sort of statement going on there. And then after this, we are back in the asylum.
Yeah,
because I really like this bit there, Nathan, and as you said in a previous episode about accents. So what I had assumed up until this point, and this was the point where it actually struck me, because previously you mentioned that there was a different accent going on, so we thought we were looking at Mark. But you felt that the accent was different, and I noticed it in this bit. So it does seem facially, it does seem like Mark. I don't know how sort of Oscar Isaac does it, because when he plays Stephen, it's almost like he looks different. I don't know how he actually manages that, but he does look like Mark, but he doesn't sound like Mark. When he's talking to him, there is a different accent.
There's a different, it's very much kind of a New York kind of accent, which links into if it is Jake, which it turns out to probably be. He was a cab driver, a New York cab driver in the comics. So it links in, it's a little nod, and it's just so cleverly done. And Oscar Isaac deserves all the accolades.
Yeah, definitely. And it doesn't. It goes all the way back to, I think it's episode 3, isn't it? Where not the first sort of blackout, but the first blackout where it's not Mark or Stephen, and it takes place in their taxi. So
it actually does.
Yeah, they are sort of dripping it in there. But yeah, definitely the accent is definitely different. So you were right, Nathan.
That's the important bit. That's the only bit that really matters.
And we do it, and then we see that Harrow's feet are bleeding. Or Dr. Harrow's feet are bleeding in the asylum.
It links back to the first scene of the entire show, I think, where we see a man that we now know to be Alpha Harrow putting glass in some sandals, some traditional sandals, and puts his feet in them in something that makes your eyes water, and just walking on it. So it all links in. They're very smart, MCU guys.
Well, and then because. And like you say, Nathan, that was the very first scene, and we end on, and we go back to the very second scene where Mark, Stephen, and probably Jake wake up back in his flat in London. We have the same song playing. And he said, change to the bed again. So we've come full circle.
We have, yeah. It's proper full circle storytelling, this. It's so well done. And it just makes you kind of gasp at times that they do these things in such a clever way. So it really is excellent.
I did. I loved it. I think, you know what, I think they wrapped it up. And like we said earlier, they've wrapped it up and they've not wrapped it up. So we've had a satisfying end to this their series, but with the scope for more. And I do want more.
Yeah. And do you, post-credit scenes?
Was there?
I've got some points for you. There were. I've got some stuff for you. So I'll run this with you. So in the post-credit scenes, it takes you to the asylum. Arthur Harrow's being wheeled through it. There is a QR code again for those keeping QR score.
Yeah.
It's on a poster that says your health is our priority. If you scan that QR code, it takes you to Moon Knight, Acts of Evil, Issue 1, which features Moon Knight. And I think this is a little Easter egg for what's to come in the MCU, fighting Kang the Conqueror. So appeared obviously in Loki, but is lined up to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Now that's interesting. So the last time that we did speak, Nathan, we did talk a little bit about the Doctor Strange, or we did say that we were both going actually to see Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no spoilers for Doctor Strange if anyone hasn't seen it yet. So I'm not doing any Doctor Strange spoilers. But what I will say is that Moon Knight actually doesn't affect Doctor Strange whatsoever. So you're okay there. But actually the Loki bit does... I do wonder, because this has been a fascinating series. I've loved it. I must admit, I think this has been my favourite of them all so far, are there for me. But it exists in its own little world, and it hasn't bled out sort of too much elsewhere. So there's some little references to other events, but nothing's come sort of inward, as it were. So it's been really good.
It has. I've got more for you.
Go on.
So post-credit scenes, Arthur Harrow is in a limo. Opposite him, sat in the limo, is Khonshu. Khonshu is wearing a Mr. Knight suit. So he is wearing the white suit. Again, that's a nod to my new best friend, Jeff Lemire, where in his 2016 run, Khonshu was wearing a white Mr. Knight suit. And finally, you didn't watch the post-credit scene. I take it.
I obviously didn't, Nathan, and I'm really disappointed. I'm going to have to go and watch them now.
They're sat opposite each other, and I'll just read this to you. This is what Khonshu was saying. You want to know something? Mark Spector truly believed that after he and I parted ways, I wanted his wife to be my avatar. Why would I ever need anybody else when he has no idea how troubled he truly is? Meet my friend, Jake Lockley. Jake Lockley is driving the limo. So that's obviously a nod to Jake in the comic books being a cab driver, and boom, Jake Lockley shoots presumably Arthur Harrow.
Ooh,
and there you go.
Why did I miss all that? I am an idiot.
I don't know.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch that end bit now. And I've watched this episode twice.
Yeah. So Mark is wearing Jake is wearing like a coat and a cap. I think that's again a nod to the cab driver origins of the character. But Jake Lockley is there. So when we thought that Khonshu had parted ways with Mark, I'm going to suggest that is not true.
That is not true. Very good. And so sets us up for the future.
I hope that's not the end of Arthur Harrow. I'd be slightly disappointed if it was. I know that he's presumably been shot dead, but I mean, we saw technically two men shot dead, even though it was one body.
Yep.
And they were fine. Yep. So
they were fine. So they did manage to come back. So yeah,
there's a lot they can do. I mentioned one thing at the start, accidentally mentioned one direction they could go in at the end, which was the cult of Khonshu. So that could be season two. That was inadvertent on my part. But there's so much more they could do. And as you can tell from the way I'm talking, super excited about it because it was such a great show.
Yeah. I think as well, Nathan, and just kind of summing up to, and going back to when we actually reviewed the show, first of all, so before any of the episodes aired, and we were looking at what the show might do. Have you been surprised by that? Did you think it would be a very different show that we would get?
I've been surprised that they didn't go more action heavy. I didn't think they would, simply because it's a brand new character, and I thought they would go for all kind of the bells and whistles in terms of action. But they did the opposite thing, and they did all the bells and whistles in terms of the weird. In sending him to the underworld, having the big bird-faced god right in your face, because part of me thought, before all the trailers dropped, that they were just going to make it a voice in a head. But instead, they did so much more. So they exceeded my expectations, because I thought they would be tamer in a bringing in this character. But instead, they just went for it and gave us everything.
Yeah. I think as well, an aspect that I like, and it's one that I picked up on as we've gone through there the series, but they didn't shy away from the sort of trauma aspect either. We saw just how sort of troubled, you know, that Mark was. That made sense about sort of Stephen, and as we find out who sort of Stephen was. Or is, and hopefully if we do get a second season and we find out about what sort of Jake is as well, and how that sort of ties in. So I've really liked that aspect of it.
Yeah, I've loved it, and keeping Jake until the very, very bitter end, I think, was such a smart move.
And he makes
me want to watch season two, as you said, so that we can get the dynamic between these guys. Because Khonshu is presumably keeping himself a secret from Mark and from, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. The dynamics are twisted, so it's super cool.
So lots of ways to go with it.
And I want to see these characters. I do want to see these characters interact with some of the wider MCU, I think.
Yeah.
I think, why not have, in season two, have something weird happen and have Sam Wilson, Captain America, rock up? Like, let's see this stuff.
But I'd be interested in, I mean, obviously the gods aspect could certainly bring in, say, Loki. Mm-hmm. I think that could be an interesting mix. They're going on there.
I think so as well. And I think in the multiverse as well, like we've seen from Doctor Strange, we've seen some of the multiverse, and don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything, but they don't, how do the gods feature into that? There's so many questions, and they just keep us we're 14, 15 years into the MCU now. And
it's opening up in so many ways that we didn't think it would, and actually the multiverse has only just been sort of scratched, isn't it? So there's loads of ways to go with that, and I actually like that because you can go weird with it, and it makes sense in that, and I'm looking forward to seeing lots more sort of characters, but I'm absolutely looking forward to seeing Oscar Isaac's Moon Knight some more, because he's been absolutely superb.
Really has. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. On that note, Nathan, I will say thanks so much to you, because you've been a brilliant co-host, Nathan, on this series.
No, thank you. And it's great to joining this cult has been nothing but delight. And I look forward to being a loyal member of it going forward, working my way up the ranks?
Well, as we do so, I will say so. So for Moon Knight, Nathan, this is us finishing off. But we've got some very cool ideas for the future. I've got more than one. So Nathan will be back very soon. And we've got some, and like you say, we do have some fun stuff lined up. But I will say once again, so thank you, Nathan.
Anytime.
And thanks for listening. And for the final time this season, Laters Gators.